This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Set the tone early. You scored a couple of times early. What was different in this game as opposed to the first time you saw the Duck?
I mean, we just started fast this game. I mean, last game that we played, we didn't really play our best game. So we just know coming in, we had to be our best, and that's what we did.
What do you think has changed for you guys from the end of the regular season to these two brilliant performances we've seen in the playoff?
I'm saying we're just hungry. We're trying to win it all, and that's what we're going to do for sure.
And you challenged them to play man, but it seemed like man, zone, no matter what they tried to do to you, nothing worked. Did anybody stop you?
No.
Hard to argue against Jeremiah Smith right now. No one could stop me. We'll see if that continues in the semis and national title should the Buckeyes get there. Spencer McLaughlin covers the Oregon Ducks for Locked On Ducks, Locked On College Football, contributor as well at 750thegame.com. He has a piece up right now with his takeaways from yesterday's Rose Bowl. Spencer, man, how did you consume the Rose Bowl yesterday with the Ducks and Buckeyes?
Like a lot of Oregon fans, watched it and just slowly but surely accepted defeat. And frankly, it wasn't that long. You know, it was slow in that we had so many commercial breaks. We got one play for about every seven commercials in the game. But yeah, it was definitely a tough one for Oregon fans to consume. And you know, sometimes, crazy as it sounds or as cliche or lazy, whatever, sometimes games go like that in a big spot. I mean, how many of these playoff games have been close, guys? Arizona State and Texas was. Didn't look like it was going to be. But then all of a sudden, Texas did what Texas does, which is they failed to play four quarters of complete football. And Arizona State was able to capitalize and had an opportunity to win the game. And other than that, I mean, the playoff games, not that they haven't been entertaining at times, but they don't feel exciting when the game kicks off and the crowds are there and everyone's excited. But this is how it goes. And, you know, Oregon played a poor game against a team that was playing a great game. And when you have a great roster like Ohio State, that's the way that it's going to go. You know, Oregon was on the other side of that sort of game in the playoff in 2015 against Florida State. And unfortunately, that script got flipped on its head yesterday at the Rose Bowl.
Biggest contributing factor or blame allocation for you coming out of yesterday is where?
You know, it's on the coaching staff, I think, more than anybody else. I know that Lanning will downplay these things, and he should, because any coach should, and this is not the sort of cultural response in a locker room you want to have. But, I mean, we've got four games of evidence now, Judah. None of the teams that had these hugely long layoffs came out in the first quarter and were good. And Arizona State was able to level it. So, you know, that's why you still look and say, yeah, that's on the staff as much as anyone. They got out-coached. They got, you know, they weren't able to make adjustments during the game, and they didn't have their guys as ready to go as they needed to. And Lanning said as much after the game, and I think that's what you should want to hear from your head coach if you're an Oregon fan. But Arizona State was down 14-3 before it felt like the game had even started. And Notre Dame, you know, that Georgia's offense wasn't doing anything in the first quarter. They have backup quarterback, sure, but He showed more growth over the course of the game than he did in the first quarter. So, I think it's on the coaching staff first, but though it's not an internal factor, externally, I think it's incredibly fair for us to look and say, Oregon got the short end of the stick. Joel Klatt has pointed this out as well, that, you know, you have that much time off, and then you come back and play arguably the best roster in college football and a really good team. Then when you don't show up ready to play and you get out coached, that's how the game can go.
Well, here's the thing, Spencer. The Ducks didn't have to play Ohio State had they lost the Big Ten title game. So is that just a bigger flaw in the system, and did the Ducks just get hosed because they accidentally won the Big Ten title game, or do there need to be sweeping changes that happen in the CFP to give some incentive for these conference champions to win? Because, I mean, if Oregon is in, if they lose that game, they're the 5 seed, they're Texas, they're probably in the semifinals right now. Like, did Oregon just get the short end of the stick on this one? It's just an unlucky year. There need to be changes going on.
No, there need to be changes. Everybody can see that. And I said going into this game, no, it's better that Oregon won, the extra time off. And now I watch everyone play with that incredibly long break, and I've changed my tune. And I say, I don't know, I'm 0-4 on teams that had a long break looking like they're the more rested. It feels like it's more they're just rusty. And the other teams are firing on all cylinders because they played the week prior. I mean, you know, something that has come up a lot is, you know, well, is Oregon's roster really good enough? Could Oregon really have won the national championship? Were they as good as we thought? Was it just an overhyped team? Ohio State looks great, right? Oh, they look incredibly good the last couple of weeks. I have a hard time picking against them with the 14 field that remains. But Oregon beat this Ohio State team, and they made a bunch of mistakes doing it. So the idea that, well, Oregon was just never good enough. No, they were. Yeah, they had a home field advantage, that to be sure. And I felt going into that game that Oregon would win because they were at home. And after the game, I felt if it had been on a neutral site, Ohio State probably would have been able to squeak it out. But that's because Oregon made a bunch of mistakes in that game. And in this game, they didn't. For this to flip on its head that dramatically, I think, is the biggest indictment of the playoff format and, you know, what we've been given. And I, for one, guys, who have spent the last couple of years lobbying against playoff expansion, am just shocked and appalled and utterly stunned that the people who made college football and all the mistakes of the last 20 years didn't get the playoff format right. I'm just shocked, guys. I can't believe they screwed it up. I mean, they only screwed up everything else, so I thought they'd get this one right.
So that's McLaughlin joining us. It does seem that it's hard to find a right system for all of this at the end of the day. It's just pick your lesser evil or your greater evil with the playoff format as far as that's concerned. Dylan Gabriel yesterday, you know, my big thing, Spencer, like I get Chip Kelly coming out with some designer stuff that just beats you on the first couple drives. I get that. Like, that could happen. Chip's great at what he does, and Jeremiah Smith's insane.
Yeah.
I get going down 14. I even get down. I understand going down 17-0. What I don't get is the lack of response on offense from Oregon yesterday to allow that to, you punt it back to them, and now it's 24-0. You punt it back, and now it's 31-0. Like, and I look at the quarterback position. Do you think that happens with Bo Nix playing quarterback on this Ducks team? How much of this is Dylan Gabriel's not Bo Nix, and obviously Will Stein has had better days?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Will Stein would tell you that was his best day as an offensive coordinator, and I think we can all see that that's the case. I thought coming into this year that Bo was better than Dylan Gabriel, but let's not forget that Dylan Gabriel was a Heisman finalist too. Now, Bo had a better statistical season because Bo was a better player, but I don't think that the gap needed to be that severe. You know, I didn't watch that game and think, boy, if Bo Nix had been back there, it'd be different. No, I think this was, going back to coaching, this was just a coaching masterclass from Ryan Day, Chip Kelly, and their defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, who adjusted during the game. You know, Oregon was finding success, not necessarily on script, but allowing Gabriel to run outside the pocket and get to his left, because obviously the left-handed quarterback can throw on the move. You know, that's how they picked up 21 yards on a 3rd-and-22 that led to a touchdown. Like, that's you know, why they were able to have success. Ohio State then made adjustments in real time and executed them to take that away, and then Oregon didn't have a response. And, you know, a lot of times when you'd watch the replay of the games on TV, guys, you'd see this receiver come open late in the route, but by then it was too late. That was the fourth progression at times. So I don't think it was, you know, squarely on the shoulders of Dillon Gabriel. I think the staff just got out-coached, and that's going to happen sometimes. And they out-coached that same staff back on October 12th. When you've got great staffs and you're going to be able to throw haymakers at one another and you have two really good rosters, this is how the games can go sometimes. I was pretty stunned, and I still am stunned with, you know, the severity with which Ohio State turned it around. But am I surprised that Ohio State won the game after Oregon won the first time? No, it's hard to beat a team twice.
Looking back now at the 2024 into the 2025 season, was this season a success for the Oregon Ducks, or is it a failure?
I think that's too black and white. Overall, it's a great season with a crappy ending. You know, if I go out and I double bogey my first hole, and I triple my last hole, but everything else is all pars and four birdies, and I end the day at one over par, is that a bad round of golf? No. It's just leaving me thinking about what could have been. Like, man, what if I just made a couple of bogeys there? Suddenly I would have been under par pretty easily, right? Like, that's not an unsuccessful round of golf. It's just that you have a couple of moments you'd like to go back to, excuse me, and you'd like to have them play out differently. But this is only, correct me if I'm wrong, the second time ever that Oregon has won 13 games in a season. They won the Big Ten championship. They did beat Ohio State, who are probably going to go on to win the national championship, or at least that's how it looks right now. So I don't – a failure would have been missing the playoff. That's a failure. This is a disappointing end to a great season, and one where, for the second straight year, Dan Lanning has improved over what he and his staff put on the field the year prior. And I thought they improved the team in their first year from what Oregon was in 2021. So – 3 straight years that Dan Lanning and his staff have made Oregon better than the year before, and I'm optimistic that is capable of happening. Again, I don't know if that happens in 2025 per se. There are a lot of difficulties there, but I do think that you have to look at the season, and if you're only judging it on the ending, I get it, because that's what everybody remembers, leaves a sour taste in people's mouths. And that's kind of what Oregon's going for. You know, conference championships, whatever, seen it, been there, done that. Even last year, you know, winning a festival, seen it, been there, done that, don't care, who cares. There's only one goal. So, yeah, they failed to win a national championship. They failed to reach the ultimate goal, but they didn't fail to reach every goal this season. So I'd lean closer to success than a failure, but it's definitely somewhere in the middle because they had a chance.
I know I could always count on you for a good golf analogy, Spencer, so for that alone, I appreciate it. Now I'm just trying to scratch my head. I'm like, all right, so what's the Penn State win? What's the Big Ten title equivalent of
like a par, right?
Is that a par now, or is that a birdie, or is that a hole-out eagle? You know, I don't know. Is that
I think that's chipping in for par. You did something right because of the outcome, but in actuality, you did a lot of things wrong. In this instance, the wrong thing is winning the game, because if they've lost, I've got a high confidence level they'd be in the college football playoff semifinal right now playing who they'd be playing, Notre Dame.
That's true. Yeah, they should have lipped it out. They should have hit the pin, lip out. Yeah.
Yeah, they should have given themselves the reality of, you know what, I deserve to make a bogey on this hole. I'm putting it down to the par.
Yeah.
But I really played well enough to make a boat.
Hey, man. Well, we have a lot to unpack between now and all the benchmarks of 2025. We appreciate your time, Spencer, and we'll follow you at S. McLaughlin CFB and your written work throughout the offseason at 750thegame.com. Thanks for making time for us.
Yep, anytime, Judah and Steven. Good to talk to you guys.
You're Spencer McLaughlin. I think Bo Nix makes a few more plays than Dillon. I know Dillon made a couple plays when the game was 34-0. So my thing is, when it was 14-0, I think you can get some runs by Bo Nix Duck offense. Last year's Duck offense, doesn't go down 17-0. Obviously, there's Bucky there too, you know, and the O-line, I think, was just better. You know, yesterday I kind of missed Mario Cristobal, right? That tells you something. I missed an O-line that could just kick your butt and not take any, you know, questions when they won the Joe Moore.
We do forget the offense last year was.
And I mean the Cristobal thing from a strictly an offensive line perspective, not a whole, you know, operation perspective, because obviously Mario had plenty of flaws in decently sized games as well.
I mean, that offense was elite last season. I mean, think about the offensive line. You know, you lose Jackson Power Johnson. You talk about Bucky. Yeah. Look what he's done in the NFL so far. Troy Franklin was awesome last season. Like, that was an elite offense. I think you're right. I don't know.
I think the deep ball that Dylan didn't hit to Tez, I think Bo Nix hits that, and you're talking a different game.
Yeah.
So far, Spencer said it's not squarely on Dylan's shoulders. I'm not saying it is either, but I'm saying you don't go down 17 or 24 nothing with Bo Nix.
Do you think last year's Ducks team was better than this year's Ducks team?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, if this is last year's Ducks team.
I think holistically, yes. Yeah. Yes, and they were 10-point favorites. It is.
It's easy to say that now, but
and they were 10-point favorites on a neutral site away from going to the 4-team playoff, and
like
probably doing better than what they did this year.
If it's a 12-teamer last year, the Ducks get in, right? Yeah. Like, even though they lose to Washington, that's a team nobody wants to play, and that's a team you're probably looking at like as a Texas or Notre Dame that's in the semifinals because of the path that they get.
Which tells you a couple things. Number one, I think the Ohio State team they just lost to might just be outlier good. Despite having two losses, I think the Washington team, we might look back on 10 years from now and say, like, holy cow, Washington made the national title? That team must have been loaded. Because guess what? They were. With the three NFL receivers and Penix, who's now starting. So, yeah, I think we'll look back on the opponents Dan Lanning's kind of buffed his head against. DeBoer's UW and Ohio State yesterday. And look back on that and be like, you know what? Those were pretty damn good teams, too. So was Oregon, but obviously they didn't live up to it and play to it yesterday. So good stuff from Spencer. 503-417-7575. We'll close up shop on the Bald-Faced Truth coming up next. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn, in for John Canzano. John, back tomorrow on the Bald-Faced Truth.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.